What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I am Alex, and I am sitting here with an amazing artist, Danny Earls. Danny, welcome.
Thanks so much, Alex. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, mate.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for chatting. Big fan. I want to talk about something that won't be a surprise to you, but was a little bit of a surprise to me. So,
right.
You know, before I do an interview, I like to search for people, and Sometimes people have the same name. Like, you look up Scott Snyder, and you're like, oh, okay, there's a golfer named Scott Snyder. So I saw your name, and I was like, oh, okay, there's a footballer named Danny Earls. Okay, let me keep searching. This is the same guy.
I was going to say that. I said, someone's got the same name as me? Yeah. Oh, yeah, a terrible footballer. He's the same fella.
Well, so, again, not a surprise to you, but maybe a little bit of a surprise to our audience. You were an incredibly successful footballer for years before you, in 2019, I believe, transitioned into art.
Yes.
why did you make the change? What led to that?
I suppose it's simple and it's complicated at the same time. I love football and I adored art, right? So football was my first love. I played it my whole life growing up. I was probably more talented at football naturally than I was at artwork because I couldn't draw for diamonds when I picked up a pencil. But going from art, it wasn't necessarily that I just chose, oh, I'm going to go draw now and stop playing football. It came at the end, almost the end of my career, right? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of thinking, I wasn't making millions, I wasn't in the Premiership. You think, what else am I going to have to do after my career? So I tried to kind of balance them both up. And when I took it seriously about 4 or 5 years before I retired, I put my heart and soul into comic books, really. If my managers look back on it now, they probably said, hey, you're more of a comic book artist than you're playing football. you're playing brutal on the pitch, start worrying about that. So I tried to kind of just seamlessly transition, and I did it to the best of my ability. Probably about 2 years I was in limbo a little bit, but then kind of luckily enough my comic book career took off then.
That's a crazy career transition. Were you back like behind the pitch or whatever? I'm not a sports guy.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, were you back there like sort of jotting things down and sketching?
Yeah, I said that's funny. I was chatting to someone earlier and I was like, you don't meet like athletes and comic book guys. Maybe now since the MCU when that came about, right? But I like comics before it was cool. So I was like my gear bag with my boots, my dirty socks, and there's a Batman comic in there, and some fella's looking, is that Batman? I'm like, no, it's not. It's like you'd be better off being caught with like a dirty magazine rather than a comic book in it, right? But no, it was like, it was so, it is unique. It's definitely unique, but nowadays it's such a broad spectrum of people that like comic books now and pop culture, right? So you can kind of, it's not as crazy now to think that someone can transition into being an athlete, into being an artist or something, you know?
Well, so that said, and I don't know if this is taken on the apocryphal, but it seems like Gail Simone was very important for pushing you to the next level.
Absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that is like, every podcast or interview I ever do, like, I want to start by thanking Gail. That's what it's like. Without even saying my name, it's like, okay, I'll thank Gail Simone. I'm Danny Earls, right? Like, she has been, when I say like a shining light, not only did she spread my work, Alex, since then she's been chatting to me and kind of telling me about the industry and how to go about things. Like, I ask her advice all the time. I'm probably sure she's like, all right, Danny, stop messaging me. All right, I helped you break in, relax. But no, on a serious note, she's a diamond of a woman. She's so lovely and gracious all the time. But she seen my work at a convention in Leeds 2 years ago, and I was so nervous. A funny story, I left the convention centre, and as I was leaving, I seen her table, and there was no one at her table, and I was like, oh, I can't go, I was so nervous. And I get out the doors and I was like, oh, do you know what, you only live once, man, just go see her. But I was rattling. I was like, oh, this is Gail Simone. I showed her my work, and she's a writer, so I thought, listen, do you know what, maybe she'll definitely see something. She's worked with amazing artists, and she was like really complimentary. And then that night she sent her this kind of 7-thread tweet. Even things, Alex, like if he doesn't get hired, there's something wrong with the comic book industry. And I'm thinking, Jesus. So since then, fortunately, I've got emails from editors, and I've tried to hit my deadlines, and I've stayed in, fortunately. But all thanks to Gail.
That's very humble of you, because your art is awesome.
Thank you.
Again, big fan. You've done a bunch of covers, but the thing that we're ostensibly talking about, and I'm looking over here where I didn't mention this before, but I think people can figure this out. We're sitting at Artist Alley at New York Comic Con. You got these large prints of your four connecting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles covers. They're so cool. You have a different turtle on each cover. They're packed with Easter eggs.
Yes.
Just take it back to the process there. IDW comes up to you. It's like, hey, we want you to do connecting covers. What's your next thought?
Yeah, do you know, like, interiors, I love in comic books. I grew up on interiors and storytelling, so interiors is my favorite, right? But covers really attract eyes to your artwork, which is an amazing thing. And
yeah,
getting to draw Batman and Turtles, it's like, it's a dream come true. But the Turtles covers, like, I grew up on the Turtles. So I have three brothers, there's four of us. So we think we're all the Turtles, right? I'm Raph, by the way, if anyone asks.
You're Raph? Okay.
I bust heads, right? But with this, it's like the IDW came and said, hey, we'd like five covers. Can we have four connecting? And I just kind of turned in a series of different options. And this is why editors are amazing, because certain times you look at it and think, oh, I'd love to do that one. But no, my editor on this was Maggie Howell, and she was like, no, that there's something about that train. It feels very New York. Can we go with that? And what I turned in wasn't as detailed as that, obviously. But I was like, oh, yeah, this could work. And then when I actually got finalized to do this, I was like, right, this is New York City. If I had one chance to draw the Turtles, what would I do? And I tried to put me life and soul into it, you know? Yeah. So when you walk down New York now, it's quite kind of surreal to think I got to draw that. And you just see how grimy and gritty New York is, but it's so cool and powerful. There's graffiti everywhere. So I just thought, listen, I'm going to just maybe go overboard on Easter eggs in detail, but I don't care. I'm going to go for it. Might be the only time I get to do them. So that was, when I say a dream come true, it was like the biggest dream come true to draw those connecting covers for Turtles.
It's great. And I do want to talk about some of the Easter eggs and stuff in a second, but just as a general question, this is coming from me,
yeah,
not just not a sports guy, but also not an artist. How do you differentiate the Turtles? How, like, when I think about them, I think about them in my head as like, they are green lumps with different colored masks,
yes,
but obviously it's more complicated.
Yeah, when you grow up on something, it's like, you know, like if you love Batman your whole life, you know Batman to his DNA. But if I said Batman to my dad, he's like, yeah, he's a dude with a cowl and he has horns. He thinks it's horns, right? Like, he doesn't know what makes Batman tick. But when you grow up with characters, and I've watched the cartoons, I've read the comics, I've seen the movies, you just intrinsically know the characters. But like, the kind of main thing that differentiates them is like, Raph's the cool one, right? So he's the stoic, mean one. Michelangelo's the fun one, Donatello's the leader. So from there, you kind of just, do you know what, Alex, it's like that, like, they kind of draw themselves. I know that sounds, I don't like being kind of airy-fairy with my art, because I like to be kind of technical, but they really do draw themselves. When I put Michelangelo in the first pose I put him in, it was like, that's not Michelangelo. He was almost looking at me saying, hey mate, this ain't me, fix it, you know, like, you just kind of get a sense of what poses they should be in and how they should look. And I think it does come from intrinsically knowing the characters your whole life, but there's definitely kind of characteristics that do stick out to each individual turtle as well.
So would you say then it's a little less about the body structure and more about the body language?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Once you kind of know anatomy and stuff, that kind of comes, it should come second nature to a professional artist, I would think anyway, right? Like, anatomy and where things go, that's kind of like, yeah, it's pretty much what you should know. That's your, it's like your fundamentals of being an artist. That's kind of your rite of passage, right? But then gesture, that is the biggest thing ever. And until you kind of hit a certain level, you don't even understand the word. Because Greg Capullo, I would hear him kind of years ago saying, gesture, I'm thinking, okay, what does that mean? But until you get kind of, when I say good enough, I don't mean to sound, I'm saying I'm good enough. But when you get to a certain level of understanding, you think, yeah, the gesture and pose, that's exactly it. Like, you, in my Raph pose, it's like, oh yeah, I like to think that's Raph. The way he is, it's just, that's just the way Raph is. And it is all gesture rather than the structure.
Yeah. I know people listening obviously can't see these necessarily, but just looking over at them here, I know, obviously, like, you have Eastman on the trade, you have Laird on the street side, you've got your own name in there as well. But talk me through some of the other Easter eggs. What maybe have people not necessarily spotted?
Yeah, there's a lot, like Casey Jones's mask is in one of the first covers. It's like kind of a stone kind of statue, you know, 1989 from the films. I have kind of dates in there from the cartoons and the films, like the pizza shop has 1989. I actually had to put a comic book shop in there. Greg here, who's watching, Greg was like, yeah, I like to put a comic book shop, and you have to do that, right, in New York City. But I have, like, Casey Jones's hockey stick hiding in behind, up in the buildings. I have the Turtles van on the billboard. Mm-hmm. Do you know, like, there's a fine line between kind of being a little bit too corny and kind of hitting the nail on the head. And again, to be fair to my editors, I had, like, Splinter's Pizzeria, and they were like, no, you're going too far, relax. And I had, like, pictures of, I had something like Krang's Corner or something. They were like, we get it, you like the Turtles. But other stuff, I actually have one of the biggest ones, I'm not too sure that people would have known, is the Warriors. I spelt the Warriors, but it's only the, like, I love the Warriors. My dad's a big kind of film guy, and I love all the stuff because of my dad. He got me into all this. So New York City's kind of synonymous with Warriors. So I was like, those little things as well. But the biggest ones is Eastman and Laird. It's like I wanted to kind of give so much props to them to be like, they are the people that created all this in a basement 40 years ago. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, can we just always remember who created these things? Because that's super important, I think, to kind of honor the lineage of how things start, you know?
And you're doing the cover to Five as well,
yes,
right? What can you tell us about that? Not a connected cover, probably.
I was
going to
say I could
Easter
show you, but I might get in trouble for that. But basically what it is, it's a culmination of all of them coming off the train. So it's a cool kind of, these ones are, it's a panoramic shot, so there's not much foreshortening going on. This one is all five coming at you, down your throat, at the camera, the trains in the background, kind of just all disembarking and heading into the night, into like whatever they're going to get up to that night, you know? So it's a nice kind of way to round out the covers.
Now, this is very sweet, this is very nostalgic, this is very heartwarming, but I want to move on to something that's a little more terrifying. You're also working on Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
And that book, I love Philip Kennedy Johnson. We're big fans of him on the podcast.
Brilliant.
Great guy. That book is terrifying, though. what is it like drawing that stuff in there when Philip delivers a script where it's like, yeah, draw this horrifying monster that's ripping the Hulk in two?
Like you said, I think I probably need therapy somewhere along the way, Alex, because I love it. I read the script and I'm like, can there be more of this? Like, horror is in my veins. It's all I know. It's all I love. Like, if I could draw horror for the rest of my life, I'd be happy. You know, like, so monsters. Yeah. So me and Philip connect on a level that is, like, a bit crazy. He's like, can we do this? He's like, yeah, can we make the face peel off? And it's like, and I go deeper again. He goes deeper. It's like, all right, mate, if anyone heard this conversation, we might be in trouble here. I hope this isn't being recorded. So me and Philip are kind of symbiotic in that way. But the big thing is what him and Nick created. Like, I'm super kind of aware that, like, Nick created this amazing run with Philip. And to kind of be anywhere, to be able to play in that kind of playground, I'm so unbelievably honored, first and foremost. But Philip is incredible. Most importantly, incredible fella, but an amazing writer. And me and him, the way he writes scripts, it's like, it just couldn't be any more up my alley, Alex. I just absolutely love it.
One of my absolute favorite things about this Hulk run, and we've talked to Philip about this a little bit, and I think he even called you out as like him sort of teeing this up for you a little bit, is the Hulk transformations.
Yeah.
Which got pretty gross in Immortal Hulk, but they've gotten even steadily worse. So, beyond it being in the script, how do you up the ante each time on that?
You know, it's a fine line between kind of just doing, like, it's like a slasher film, right? Like, like the Terrifier 3 just came out. It's like, do you do gore for gore's sake? No, I think that film's more than that, but do you want to have some sort of taste with it? But there has to be a reason and a meaning behind it. But more so, it's just kind of like, how can you make it cool for the fans? We're all fans of this stuff, right? I'm the biggest fan ever. I get to wake up every day as a fan and draw, so I'm lucky, right? But that's a bit, but I remember, never forget, I seen Nick's first issue one of the Hulk. And that transformation where his jaw comes out, and you can almost hear it.
Yeah.
And I was a fan. I wasn't on the book at that time and nowhere near it. And I was like, this is my favorite book on the shelves right now. And I cannot believe that they're doing this with the Hulk. It's horror. It's back to Hulk being a monster. So when I got my first transformation scene, it was like, this is so cool. I'm just drawing bones breaking and him in agony. It's like, like I said, I need therapy somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
But every kind of time, we don't necessarily try up the ante every time. We try to do something different every time. So Philip always would give you some little kernel to attach on to say, hey, this is what we're going for this time. Like, a bit of skin might be hanging off of someone that we've not done before. So it's not necessarily trying to up the gore. It's trying to think of a new way that he transforms that we haven't seen before.
Yeah. Now, just to sort of wrap this up a little bit, you, in a very short period of time, it sounds like, have gotten to do a couple of dream assignments. Turtles, Batman, Superman, Hulk, etc. Do you still have a white whale at this point? Is there something that you, like, you have your eye on?
There is. It's one of those things. I'm never shy about saying what I want to do, but I'll keep that close to my chest for the time being, because I've worked. Yeah. Batman is like an idol. It's like a top of the mountain for me, but so is the Hulk. So working for Marvel and DC, Alex, all I wanted to do was work in comic books, and to work for Marvel and DC has been a dream come true. You know, it's like, I genuinely, not even joking, if I stopped to think about it, I'd actually scare myself how well the last 18 months have gone. So I need to just not think, keep working, keep on getting scripts so I don't have to think, and just keep on going. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and worst case, if it falls through, you can fall back on football. So
there you go. Well, I don't know if a manager would take me nowadays the way I'm walking around, but yeah, something like that.
Awesome. Danny, thank you so much for coming on. Pleasure to chat.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex. I appreciate it.
And if you'd like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about comic books, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice. To subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X.
Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Gamers and watch lovers, stay frosty. We've got covert intel. Movement, the official timekeeper of the highly anticipated Call of Duty Black Ops 6, is releasing a special edition Black Ops 6 watch and accessory collaboration. Bring the aesthetics of the Black Ops 6 story straight to your wrist and wardrobe. It even arrives with custom packaging and a free gift. Shop the exclusive special edition collaboration at mvmt.com/bo6. That's mvmt.com/bo6.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J. Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.